Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Ashley Barlow Company podcast. I'm Ashley Barlow, your host. If you are a parent, a teacher, or someone who works at a school, or you're a community member, a volunteer, or a staff member at an organization that supports people with special education plans, a coach, a tutor, or even a grandparent, you're in the right place. Sit back with an ice cold glass of lemonade, put on your walking shoes and grab some headphones, roll down the windows and cruise. Ready, set, go. Educate, advocate, collaborate. Welcome back to the Special Education and Advocacy Podcast with Ashley Barlow. I'm Ashley Barlow, and I'm so happy you're here. I'm laughing because I just started this recording and completely forgot the name of my own podcast, which has existed now for nearly 4 years. Some days are better than others, and just like when I was a teacher, the months of April and May are busy in this special education attorney advocate life, and sometimes your brain works better than other days, and that's all okay, friends. Today, we are going to talk about probably my favorite topic. We're going to talk about negotiation, and we're going to talk about one strategy in negotiation. The reason I want to talk about one strategy in negotiation is because I always say there are three things that you need in special education advocacy. You need to know special education law. I'm super sorry, but you do. You need to know those parent rights. You need to know what least restrictive environment means and what the Department of Ed says about it and what the regulations say about it. You also need to know special education practice. So you need to know what the curricula are. You need to know teaching practice. You need to know how to support a child behaviorally. You need to know tools, skills, strategies, curricula, etc. So that's number two. And the third thing you need to know is the negotiation and advocacy strategies in order to get the practices that your team thinks need to be implemented and introduced and taught that are in alignment with that law. And I think that the negotiation strategy is A, the thing that people don't focus on the most, and B, probably the hardest thing to DIY. And that's mainly because it's just hard to talk about your own family. It's hard to talk about your own interests and values because it's hard, right? It is emotional and stressful, and it's hard to be objective. As has always been the case around here, I like to give you those skills and strategies. And so today we're going to talk about something that is so basic, like it almost feels like it shouldn't be a negotiation strategy. But let me tell you something, it is so common for people to make mistakes here. So one of the most common mistakes that people make in advocacy, period, whether it's special ed advocacy or any place else, is, this is going to sound crazy, but they don't know what they want. Seriously, don't know what they want. So what happens is clients, people get so upset in special education advocacy, and there's this like ginormous list of things that have happened where they have felt disenfranchised, undervalued, uninformed, intimidated, all of these negative feelings. And then they go into meetings and they just want to vent about those things, but we don't have any solutions. And so at the end of the day, the question might become, so what do you want? And the person, like literally this happens a lot in meetings, they go blank and they're like, and you're like, you don't know what you want. So we're here to get stuff done. I'm here for kids, and I don't know how to help you, okay? And so sometimes that happens. I'm usually on the parent side at meetings, almost always. And sometimes that happens where an administrator or a school staff person doesn't know what they want. But I see it a lot in my clients. And so When I very first started going to meetings with people over 15 years ago, I didn't really have the planning to say, oh, what are our goals in this meeting? What do we want out of this meeting? What changes do you want to the IEP? What supports do you want implemented? What curriculum are you looking at? Why do you want eligibility? Like, I want my kid to have an IEP. What do you want out of it? And half the time what the clients want out of something is something that we could accomplish, like maybe not in the IEP team or in some other way. So that's not really what we're talking about, because what I want for you to do is I want for you to go into all meetings knowing what you want. Sounds so simple, right? But let's dive in a little bit further. One thing that I recommend is making a list of wants. Now, a good way to do that is the thing that we talked about last week, which is go through the proposed documents. Go through the data that your child is currently achieving. And maybe the data drives instruction, right? So maybe the data is suggesting changes. We aren't making progress here. I want new curriculum for math computation. I want task initiation is just not happening. I want new skills and strategies to be taught for task initiation, whatever that looks like. You also can go through the proposed documentation. So you can go through the proposed IEP, and maybe your whole goal is inclusion, like your overarching goal is inclusion. Well, what are five things that you need in that IEP that lead up to the least restrictive environment part in order to support your argument that your child needs more access to gen ed? So what do you want? Do you think an aid is it? Okay, what's going to lead to an aid or an instructional assistant being added to that supplementary aids and services? Make a list, then prioritize it. Make a list of what you want and prioritize it and give it value. I have to have this, but I'm okay getting rid of this. Or I have to have this number of minutes, which means we might take minutes away from another subject area. I have to be in this environment, but I don't care about the adult. Or I have to have this adult, but I don't care about the environment as much. Or this has to be pushed in, but it could be pushed in three different gen ed environments. It could be a special area class, could be cafeteria, whatever it is. Then communicate that to somebody else. Practice on somebody else. Talk to your advocate or your attorney about it. Talk to your sister about it. Talk to your spouse or the child's parent, other parent about it. Talk to your pediatrician about it. Talk to somebody else about what you want so that you're practicing and so that you're really getting into those values. When you do that, ask yourself why. I want this and this is why. So that we aren't in those principle-based things. I want inclusion. Okay, what's that mean? Why do I want inclusion? How is inclusion going to happen? Ask yourself those 5W questions so that then you can actually have a conversation. And if it's inclusion or anything that comes at the end of the IEP, supplementary aids and services like an aid or I'm like stuck on inclusion right now as my example, then make sure that you're building the things leading up to that in the IEP, because as we know, the IEP goes in order. Now, a range of wants is okay, and a more flexible list is okay, but I really recommend that you make sure that you have it written down and you have practiced it entirely. This becomes super important when the going gets tough. So one thing in negotiation is we think we know what we want, but we don't know why. And the second somebody asks us why and they try to get to our interest, we totally break down. This is a strategy I use all the time. District says, we can't do that. And I'm like, why? And they're like, And I'm like, yeah, exactly. So let's see if we can do it. Let me tell you why I'm asking for something, because maybe within my why, we can strategize some other way to do it. Sometimes we're just calling it the wrong thing. Sometimes we are just asking for it at the wrong time of day or in the wrong setting or whatever. And so what I am here to tell you is that if you write down what you think you want, and if you think about why you want it, how it could be implemented, who could do it, where it's going to happen, those things. And then if you are able to communicate that because you've practiced and you've sat down and thought, what do I want? And you've tried and you've practiced that just one time. You don't have to really dive deep into it. I promise you, you will be a better advocate. It is so incredibly simple. Know what you want. I have left meetings. I have two examples of this. One is I one time had a meeting where my client, outside of the documents, had 13 asks. I went this and I went all the way down to 13. And then this person was unable to attend the meeting. And so maybe 5 or 6 times in my life, I have gone to a meeting without a client. And this was one where I went to the meeting without the client. There's various reasons why sometimes that's appropriate. And so I did, and I got 12 out of 13, or I got 14 out of 15, or whatever the list was. I got like so much of it, and I was so excited. And I came home, and the client said, well, you didn't get blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my gosh. But guess what? We didn't prioritize. And it turned out that the one thing that I was like giving on was something that they weren't willing to give on, or they didn't think they wanted to give on. Now, as we communicated and we chatted, we got to a place that it was like, let me tell you why I was okay with this and not okay with that. And we came to a place, the two of us, thank goodness, because I was representing their interests and values, which is a risk in going to something without your client. And so that was it. That ended up to be a really good talk, and we worked through it and everything was fine. Another time, I was in a different area of law, not special education, but it was the kind of case where siblings were arguing. And there was this one sibling who you could have given this person the world, and the response still would have been, that's not enough. And these people were arguing and spending so much time and therefore money on the most ridiculous, minuscule, non-valuable, not emotionally valuable stuff. And it was crazy. It was like a divorce when you get down to the kitchen spoons. And the kitchen spoons were not the kind from Europe that you hang in the wooden thing in your living room. It was like that, where we were arguing about half bottles of Aquanet or something. And so we got down to the bottom. And finally, we were like, all right, we have to go to court. We have to have a judge decide this between the two of you or the eight of you or whatever the situation was. I have to be like super duper cautious in what I share because it can't be identifying. So I just change facts left and right as I'm doing this. It's fun. And so we get down to it, and the judge says, there's some back and forth, right? So like my client says some stuff, and then the other person's client says some stuff, and then there's like person A, person B, person A, person B, but judge, I went this, but judge, I went that, and I said I did this, and yeah, she said that, but then this happened, and you forgot to talk about Susie and Johnny from Colorado and all of these things. And it all culminated, and the judge had finally had enough, which happens. And the judge looked at the other side and said, what do you want? And this person was completely off guard. I am telling you, this person had put my client and ostensibly, by extension, me, in a state of chronic and current distress for 6 months. And the judge then said, what do you want? And it was like complete silence, like awkward, uncomfortable silence. And for the first time in all of this conversation, I just sat there completely silently. And I waited for the judge to break the silence. And then the judge looked over at me and I said, judge, that's the problem. They don't know what they want. And so we're having all of these rhetorical conversations and offering all of these things and trying to get this done. And they don't know what they want. And that's why we need an order. So that is a warning to you. If you feel like you've got a conflict with your district and you feel like the IEP team is not able to make decisions, the last thing you want is to end up in court because nobody knows what you want. And so that is why this podcast episode is about knowing what you want. It's so easy. Simply know what you want. Okay, friends, I will see you next week. Same time, same place. I hope you have a great week.